Let's start with Ukraine's future. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is bringing in reinforcements for his meeting with US President Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. European leaders, including Ursula von der Leyen, Frederick Merz, Giorgia Meloni and Emmanuel Macron, said they're all going to Washington too because Volodymyr Zelensky asked them to. It's after Presidents Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin failed to reach a deal during talks in Alaska on Friday. We'll speak to Vitaly Shevchenko, a Ukrainian journalist with the BBC shortly. But first, shortly before we came on air, I spoke to Ukrainian MP Maria Mesentseva. She reacted to US President Donald Trump's change of tune after the Alaska summit, how he now wants to bypass a ceasefire in Ukraine in favour of a permanent peace agreement.
We've been trying to persuade both Donald Trump and the Russian side that we should start any kind of negotiations from a very, very particular point, which is a ceasefire, and it's very much needed. Ukraine unconditionally agreed to it, but, solely on one side. Which doesn't make sense. We've been through 26, if I've calculated it right, ceasefires from 2014 to 2022, or the day of invasion, mediated by OSCE, supported by international partners. It didn't work. Russia was mingling around it, trying to use civilians as a shield in the temporary occupied areas of Donbas, which now it insists to push us for the exchange of other lands of ours, which is also very ridiculous and contradicts to international law.
But let's talk about that, Maria. One of Vladimir Putin's demands is that Ukraine withdraws from Donetsk and Luhansk, along with freezing the remaining front line. Do you think Ukraine could agree to that or negotiate on that?
I'll be very honest. I am speaking right now not only as a politician, but also officer in reserve from recently. And half of my family is at the front line since day one of this 11 years of contemporary war. I don't think it's realistic. I don't think the army will accept it. I don't think that the nation will accept it. It can lead to very, very harsh consequences, and I'm not sure Ukrainian leadership will go to negotiate something which is unconditional, enshrined in the Ukrainian constitution, United Nations charters, and international law provisions. So, you know, when we're talking about my home region, Kharkiv, which was one third of it was occupied before liberation operation in September 22, now around 10 villages and towns are under occupation. One of those is a home to my family. They've lost everything, basically. It's a no-go to explain to Ukrainians, we've been fighting. We have this terrible life losses of our beloved ones, and now we have to sort of step away. I think the ceasefire should come first. Then we can discuss the current fire line, border line, if I may say so. And then we can move on, of course. And simultaneously to that, we should consider humanitarian issues, like that letter that Madame Melania passed on to war criminal Putin with regards to displaced children. I think it has to be enhanced to also civilians in captivity and prisoners of war. And then, we can move ahead. But it looks like the schedule is has the same points, but we just, jump from one to another. Very, very important that European leaders are joining this meeting on Monday, because Ukraine is not on its own.
You're talking about land. It's a land deal. Not realistic. It's not acceptable. But is it inevitable?
We really have to make sure which peace are we talking about. Is it an immediate one? Then, lands could have been swapped, but things would never have been been stopped. Russia's appetite is to move on. They will never stop in Donetsk or Lugansk or Zaporizhia or Kherson. They are willing, and they're doing these statements publicly, to move ahead to Kiev and further on. I think Finland, Sweden, Baltic states, Poland are very much aware that they are sort of next on the menu if that happens.
Ukrainian MP Maria Mesentseva speaking to me a little earlier. For more on this, we're joined now by Vitaly Shevchenko, Ukrainian journalist with BBC Monitoring. He's just back in Washington from that meeting in Anchorage. Thank you for speaking with us, Vitaly.
It's a pleasure, Jackie.
Vitaly, we're hearing that Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump that Russia could relax some territorial claims in exchange for the Luhansk and Donetsk region. We just heard there that the Ukrainian nation wouldn't accept that. But is territorial negotiation really on the table here?
Well, we're talking about five Ukrainian regions in the southeastern part of the country, one of which, Crimea, Russia fully occupied and annexed back in 2014. The other four, Donetsk, Luhansk, Zaporizhia and Kherson, it partly controls but claims all of them, including the parts that it doesn't control, claims as its own. And we have to remember, Jackie, that it's not just about territory, really. If you look at the demands that Russia has been putting forward over the past month, including at that meeting with the Ukrainian delegation back in June in Istanbul, these demands also include conditions which would essentially give Russia control over Ukraine's political and social life. And these demands masquerade as protecting the rights of Russian speakers in Ukraine or the rights of the Orthodox Church, which are not really under threat. So it's a combination of territory and political and social control.
Now, we see European leaders are going to Washington too at the request of the Ukrainian president. Is this a reflection of how concerned Vladimir Zelensky is about the meeting, that he is calling in these reinforcements?
Oh, absolutely. It's a reflection of how he is concerned and how they're concerned that Donald Trump may essentially throw Ukraine under the bus and side with Vladimir Putin after what happened in Anchorage in Alaska, when the US president essentially sided with Vladimir Putin and switched from supporting Vladimir Zelensky's proposals for a ceasefire before more substantive talks, and now the US president says, well, actually, let's strive towards a lasting peace, which is what Vladimir Putin has been saying. And translated from Kremlin speak, this means that I will continue attacking Ukraine until it surrenders. There's been absolutely no departure from his really extreme demands for Ukraine's surrender, which, as I say, include both territory and social control over Ukraine. And after that summit in Alaska, it seems that Donald Trump, well, isn't particularly opposed to those demands.
And is Europe falling behind here, Vitaly, and struggling for relevance?
The fact is that Europe's clout, military power that it wields, and political influence as well, it falls behind America's. America is the world's richest nation, the world's most powerful nation. It used to be Ukraine's biggest ally in both political terms and in terms of money and military equipment that it was receiving from America. Not anymore. And that's a huge problem for Ukraine, because European nations, they will struggle to make up for whatever America is not giving to Ukraine. And I was watching Russian TV yesterday, and that's the point they're making. It's up to Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump to decide the fates of other nations, including Ukraine and European countries as well.
A lot to come in the next 24 hours. The BBC's Vitaly Shevchenko, thank you for joining us on This Week.